will I guarantee it. The financial advisor finally recovered his composure. My words, "Will you guarantee it?" had taken him by surprise and caught him in his deception. He then turned to me and asked, "Will you guarantee what you say? Will you guarantee a stock market crash?" "Absolutely," I replied. "You will?" he asked feebly. "Sure," I said. "How can you do that?" "Easy," I said. "Any investor knows that markets go up and markets go down. Guaranteeing a market crash is the same as guaranteeing that it will snow in Alaska next winter. A professional investor knows there are always changes in the market cycle, just as there are changes in the weather. It is foolish to believe that Chinese investors or baby boomers' parents have the power to prevent a market crash, a market cycle. There are certain things that always happen in the world of investing, and market crashes are one of them. That I will guarantee. That is why I know the premise of my book is accurate. The exact date of the crash may be inaccurate, but trust me, there is another crash coming. Market crashes have always followed market booms. No market can go up forever. That is an idea that flies against the laws of nature. As an investor, I would rather bet on the laws of nature than Chinese investors or baby boomers putting their inheritance into the stock market. "So you recommend real estate instead?" asked the financial advisor, attempting to draw me off the subject. "No," I replied. "Real estate also has cycles. I am recommending your listeners increase their financial intelligence, and astute investors know that there will always be market cycles. That is why I will bet on the market cycles, not Chinese investors or baby boomers inheriting money and saving the stock market from crashing." "We're out of time. Thank you for your comments," said the financial advisor politely. One of the things I like about live radio or TV interviews is that it is difficult to change what I say. The audience hears exactly what I am saying, and they are able to judge for themselves if they like what I say or do not like what I say. With print journalists, people who write for newspapers, magazines, or the internet, they have the power to take what I say and change it, distort it, and yes, even lie. If you decide to become a professional investor, you will need to be careful what publications you read and choose carefully what publications you get your information from. I was having lunch with my mortgage banker, who happens to be one of the biggest mortgage bankers in America, lending several billions of dollars a year. Out of the blue, Scott asked, "Why do these fancy money magazines not write about real estate investing? Most of these glossy money magazines only talk about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The only kind of real estate they talk about is fixing up your home or buying a vacation home or investing in REITs, which are real estate investment trusts. That's not real estate investing." Agreeing, I said, "Because they need to keep their advertisers happy." One of the best ways to check the validity of your investment information is to first check who the advertisers are in the publication you read. Many publications that support the idea of investing for the long term in mutual funds have mutual fund companies as their primary source of advertising revenue. That is why before the crash, during the crash, and after the crash, these publications continue to write about the advantages of mutual funds. High-quality information. After my 1965 experience with a mutual fund salesperson, Rich Dad said to me, "Better investors seek better information." He also said, "Better financial information is not readily available. You must go in search of it." If you want to become more financially successful, you will have to go in search of your financial information, because many of the best financial publications are not sold in supermarkets or even in bookstores. The lesson I learned in 1965 was that I had to be very careful about who I invited into my head. Rich Dad said, "We have locks in our doors for a reason. You should have a lock on your brain for the same reason." The people I do invite into my head are people like Warren Buffett, Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan, Jim Rogers, George Soros, Lord Rees-Mogg, and others. On television, I have tremendous respect for Mark Haynes and Ron Insana of CNBC. They seem to have a depth of knowledge and experience that many new TV financial journalists do not have. As far as newspapers go, I read the Wall Street Journal because it is often more bullish, and I read Barron's because it is often more bearish. Today, I love reading The Economist. For a number of years, I would try to read it, but had to put it down because it was too far over my head. Now I can understand about 65% of what I read. As far as business news goes, I find Business Week, Fortune, and Forbes are good for keeping up to date with the trends of big business. I find Fortune Small Business and Fast Company excellent for trends in small business. For real estate news, I find my information in the market reports put out by many commercial real estate firms. Many of these reports are free and are a wealth of information about trends and challenges facing the professional real estate investor. At the start of this section, I mentioned the importance of managing information. This also extends to people who are afraid of losing. Before going further, let me make clear that I am not against these people. I have lost many times in my life. In fact, I often encourage people to lose more so they can learn more. After all, we are designed to learn from our mistakes. What I am against are losers who blame other people or events for their losses, rather than learning from them.